As this program took a little break this fall, the state's summary of Bristol Bay's 2016 commercial salmon season was issued and the dust has settled a bit. It's never too late to recap and reflect on our fishery. For our Friday conversation, I'm happy to have Mike Fracero joining by phone from Kodiak. Fracero skippers the Miss Gina and is the current board president for the Bristol Bay Regional Seafood Development Association. Mike, I'd like to talk about some of the postseason discussions that are going on, but first let's look back to last summer. The numbers are in from Fish and Game. 2016's total inshore run of 51.4 million sockeye was the second biggest in 20 years. The harvest of all salmon species was the biggest in 20 years. Mostly good news. What say you?
Well, my reaction to this season in a word is wow. And to elaborate on that, I mean, it had a beautiful season. The management looked very intuitive in hindsight and did a great job of managing the fishery, especially given the, you know, lesser funding and fewer tools to work with. And the run is in great shape biologically, and the early indications for next year are for another big harvest.
Did anything not go as well as intended from your perspective or from average drifter perspective out there?
Well, I didn't see any real issues that I would, react to. I fish Ibby Dick and I have for 35 years. And we basically had, enough fish early to get rolling. So that was probably the big difference for us. And we had the registration changes from the last Board of Fish cycle. So you had to drop your card in order to go fishing. So we didn't have the early interlopers, is what I like to say, in our way in Ibby Dick. And so it was basically, the boats that wanted to fish there were there and everybody else was in their river. And fortunately for us, we didn't have to wait, an extra 2 weeks to go fishing. We started rolling here fairly well around, the last week of June. And from then it just gradually picked up momentum. And the tail end of the run was, like everybody else, just a blur of round-the-clock fishing and plenty of opportunity, along with pretty severe weather. So the westerlies were prevailing the whole season, and which is good for the east side, where you would think. The fish tended to run offshore this year, so that was different. The late arrival in some of the districts, I think, was only offset by the experience from last year, so everybody could look at 2015 and gain some hope. So rare that 2 years come in so similar, so it was nice to have that comfort level, but really amazing that it actually worked that way.
Right. I think we picked up on that from our vantage, that the Naknek Kwejak fleet sat a little bit more patiently waiting on what proved to be a good run. They were the only district that didn't do as well compared to the rest. How about your buddies that fished Ugashik? Quite a season over there.
Well, yeah, I guess that was the best one ever. Hard to not like that. The whole dynamic of when they fish and why they fish and versus their escapement and, any conversation about what fish they're catching or anything like that is always part of that whole conversation. And, we certainly don't begrudge Ugashik a great season by any means.
All right. Mike, as the RSDA looks at its role, supporting this fishery in view of what we know are declining state budgets and cuts to the Fish and Game operating budget that manages this fishery, which I think most people acknowledge is managed well. The RSDA is contributing more and more money to the cause, and I'd like to ask you, what do you see as that as the future of that?
Yeah, good question. Our reaction to the so-called, I call it cost recovery, but they call it test fishing, and we could touch on that, but it's just a different way of looking at the same thing. So you've got cost recovery is the test fishing that happens before the season to a very large extent to make up, large budget shortfalls. Last year was about $250,000, and the value of that fish is extremely low. I mean, the value of the fish is high, but with the reward to Fish and Game and the income stream from catching, approximately 800,000 pounds is extremely low. It's a very poor economic model. And so the short answer is that, we did what we did because of pure necessity and a short time frame. There was no scenario where we thought that in the best interest of the common property fishermen and the permit holders of Bristol Bay that this cost recovery fishing was any kind of a good idea. And in fact, Fish and Game didn't like it much either. So that was a powerful collaboration that went very quickly. And most of those discussions and board votes and so forth happened after our industry meeting in March, when Fish and Game rolled out the whole program to us. And actually, they were intending to take a great deal of the value from the Inuit CAC and also in the Kings. And because they typically take this from Middle Bluff, it impacts the east side, and because it's potentially going to become more and more, they want to spread the impact through all districts. And so they had a real keen idea that a great amount of this, or a significant amount, was going to come from the Inuit CAC area. And the way the fish ran last year, there was very little at Middle Bluff, and in really a large volume of fish between the Kwijak and the Inuit CAC, and they probably would have just focused right on that. And I don't think that would have made anybody happy as a permit holder. It would have contributed to even more waiting time and less escapement. So it's just a really poor model economically. So the RSA did agree to fund the department up to $250,000 to avoid the cost recovery fishery that would have otherwise taken over 800,000 pounds of fish right off the top of the total allowable catch, essentially taking fish that could otherwise be harvested by our fishermen. While the RSTA did make the initial commitment, several processes have contributed to our efforts to help offset the cost. To date, we have received $70,000 in contributions from Icicle, North Pacific, Peter Pan, Ocean Beauty, AGS, and Leader Creek, and we are really pleased with the support of these efforts by the processors. Next year remains to be seen, but several regional entities, including BBRSTA, are looking at alternative ways to help close the gap and ensure that Bristol Bay continues to get the funding to maintain a level of management that is critical for the sustainability of the fishery.
All right, so it looks like you're not backing away from the support, but perhaps seeking to make sure that others are stepping in as well.
Absolutely. No, we don't see that as the RSDA's appropriate way to utilize the funds from the tax, but we also did not see any way that we could not intervene in the moment last year.
The fall season after the fishery, I know the fleet always looks forward to seeing the forecast come out and the rest, but usually by Pacific Marine Expo, there are a few other issues that are right at the front of everybody's mind, whether it's the permit buyback program in the past, or the genetic studies that come out that everybody's anxious for, or even the pebble issue in the past has been kind of a fall time discussion point. What's on the minds of the fleet this fall, and what do we expect to talk about come Pacific Marine Expo in November?
Well, I can tell you that price will probably be at the top of everybody's minds, because you've got a fleet that has some pretty significant catch in. Statewide overall, poor returns, so our market share is good, and I think everyone's going to be real sensitive to retroactive payments for the 2016 season. I think that's going to be, the talk on the floor. Anything that happens regarding price with any of the processes will resonate through the show fairly quickly. And our member meeting is going to be on the second day of Expo, actually, or the Friday, the 18th, from 1 to 3. So we have a room, and we have it in the second half of one of the main days. So I think our timing is better for member attendance, and we're hoping to have a very robust meeting. Andy Wink of Medal Group will be presenting the fall sockeye market analysis, and it will be very interesting to see the ex-vessel value percentage versus first wholesale, which is one of their main, best work product from that for the permit holders to look at, and give you a very good idea of where we're at with our, what we're getting paid versus the overall value of the wholesale level of the catch.
We'll leave it right there. Mike Fracero, skipper of the fishing vessel Miss Gina and current board president of the Bristol Bay Regional Seafood Development Association. Good as always to talk with you, Mike, and we'll probably see you down south at Pacific Marine Expo. Thanks so much.
Absolutely. I'll be there with my ears open and with a willing attitude to go to work, and we really appreciate KDLG.